When ProPublica revealed a trove of tax records earlier this week that showed that richest Americans paid next to nothing on their fortunes, some people scoffed. Well, of course they don't. Those calling for tax reform say that's exactly the point. The real scandal is that what very rich Americans do is perfectly legal. They can pay hardly any income tax because the tax code gives preferential treatment to the kind of wealth they've got. What's going on here exactly? What might be done about it? Let's bring in Robert McClelland, senior fellow in the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center. Welcome, Rob.
Thank you.
So to set the scene here, ProPublica reviewed thousands of tax returns, including those they say belong to the richest Americans, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, Berkshire Hathaway CEO Warren Buffett, Mike Bloomberg, Elon Musk, more. And they compared how much in taxes the 25 richest Americans paid each year to how much Forbes estimated their wealth grew in that same time period. This is called the true tax rate. It averaged about 3.4%. Some even paid nothing. I am imagining you were not surprised by that.
That's right. This was pretty well known that a lot of the very wealthiest Americans have most of their income in terms of unrealized capital gains. That is, they don't get a salary or wages the way most of us do. Their income, again, is primarily because of the growth of the value of their stock. And that growth is only taxed when the assets are sold.
Right. Well, we should note that there were people on the list, Warren Buffett, George Soros, who have been screaming for years, tax me more. But there are many who work to lower their tax rate. Tell us about the strategy called buy, borrow, die.
Sure. So the idea behind buy, borrow, die is, well, you buy assets, stock, for example. Their wealth is high enough that they can borrow against the unrealized capital gains. That is, as the assets increase in value, they can borrow money using that increase in the value of their assets as collateral and go ahead and live a lifestyle commensurate with all that wealth. And then when they die, then they can pay off the loan.
You mean when they die, their heirs, their estate,
heirs,
pays off all that money that they borrowed using what they've inherited from all the, you know, wealth that was in those investments.
That's right. But it's important to realize that there's a tax strategy here, because once a person passes away, the tax bill for all those unrealized gains gets wiped away. That is, if the heir sells the assets on the day that the person dies, there's no capital gains taxes owed at all. So the idea behind buy, borrow, and die is one buys these assets, buys stock, as it appreciates, one borrows against that without paying taxes. And then when one dies, the tax bill on those unrealized capital gains just goes away.
Goes away. Well, and that's perfectly legal.
It is perfectly legal.
So how can it be changed to be more fair?
Well, there are two basic approaches to addressing this problem about unrealized capital gains. The first is called mark-to-market, in which people pay annually income taxes on the growth rate of their assets. So the advantage of that method is the money flows into the federal government right away.
Well, if people were required to pay taxes on the increase in value of their stocks to try to tap into the super wealthy, wouldn't that hurt those less wealthy who just happen to have, you know, let's say their retirement fund in stocks?
Well, if their retirement fund is in stocks, I don't think they would be subject to this tax. Typically, there are floors on income. So, for example, you would say this is only affects people who have more than $1 million in income.
Yeah.
So another approach that's being proposed by the administration is to tax unrealized gains at death. This would be for people who have more than $1 million in unrealized gains. But you could tax unrealized gains at death, and that would blockade this buy, borrow, die aspect. So instead of being able to die and then the capital gains taxes get wiped away on these unrealized gains, they'd be due. So the government would basically take the approach, you can pay me now or you can pay me later, but you're going to have to pay at some point.
Hmm. Look, the IRS has said it's investigating the ProPublica report, not the allegations of avoiding tax payments, but the fact that the report relied on private documents that were apparently leaked to the press. Do you think anything happens next?
That's difficult to say. I obviously imagine that the IRS is going to be looking at this rather aggressively. What they find, I guess, will determine where they go from there. I've seen at least speculated that the IRS servers might have been hacked, but it's will be difficult to say until we hear more back from the IRS as to what they found.
And you once worked in the tax analysis division of the Congressional Budget Office. What kind of impact does it have when such wealthy, wealthy people avoid or aren't required to pay taxes? What effect does it have on the federal budget?
Well, obviously, it lowers the federal revenues. There's a considerable amount of unrealized capital gains that's not being taxed. So, yeah, it has some effect on the budget. Still, most money is being earned through salaries and wages. So most of it's still being taxed. It's just at the very top end that people are not being taxed on the increase in their wealth.
Robert McClellan, Senior Fellow in the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center, thank you.
Well, thank you again for having me here.